Timmies and Spikes, we must all arrive at the wind condition.
Yeah, borders, schmorters.
Storm crows, as a crow storm.
I mean, Jace's ultimate doesn't seem so bad now. Time has not been kind to that unicorn.
All your red cards foil and then run super secret tech.
Yo quiero Cormus Bell. What if I could tell you that in Rivals of Ixalan, you could play Tolarian Academy? Hello again, and welcome back to the Win Condition Podcast, where we talk all things Magic the Gathering. I'm your host, Sean. I'm joined by my co-host, Greg. How's it going, Greg?
Doing okay today. Getting excited for Explorers of Ixalan.
Oh, man. It is November 17th. There's a ton of stuff coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got your Iconic Masters. You got your... Does Explorers of Ixalan come out today, too?
Yeah, Explorers of Ixalan is today.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, we've got... what else? Massive Darkness released today.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. And if you haven't already gone and checked out the new Game Nights video, it's definitely worth checking out.
Is it? I haven't seen that yet.
Jimmy and Josh got the Professor and Wedge to come and play some sealed Iconic Masters where they opened 12 boosters each. And the ensuing game is actually quite hilarious. So definitely worth a watch.
That sure sounds hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, definitely reminiscent of days of old where we just kind of played casually. And, yeah, pretty fun stuff. Before we go too far, we'd like to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Flipside Gaming at flipsidegaming.com, where you can go and order Magic singles, Magic sealed product, those Iconic Masters boosters that you're looking for. And if you have an order over $10, be sure to use that promo code WINCONDITION in all caps, and they will save you 10% off of your purchase, which will in turn help contribute to our future show giveaways. So, Greg, where do we start?
I don't know. There's so much
stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I think there was something that you were talking about, how Wizards has just bombarded us with product this year.
I mean, you've got Iconic Masters releasing. You've got Explorers of Ixalan releasing. But it seems all everybody wants to talk about right now is something a little unusual, a little unordinary.
I don't know.
That's right. We're going to go dive deep into previews for Unstable in a segment that we're going to call Through the Looking Glass. So here, when we look through the looking glass, we're going to take a look at previews of cards for sets to come. Mm-hmm. So we have been inundated with Unstable, and let me tell you, there is a lot of unusual stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, to start, you've got Contraptions, which is a completely different card type we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a mini game within a game. But before we dive too deep into Contraptions, let's just take a look at some of the preview cards that were released most recently, and we'll kind of work our way backwards. We haven't got a chance to talk about Unstable just yet, so there's quite a bit to talk about, quite a bit to get excited about. Greg, you mentioned this card called Kindslaver. Do you want to walk us through what Kindslaver is?
So Kindslaver is a 5-drop, so 5 colorless. Don't have to be actually color symbols, it's just generic. Legendary artwork. Tap 5, tap it, and sacrifice it. And then a person outside the game controls target player during that player's next turn. Neither player may advise that person until the end of that turn. Just relax. I brought in a substitute. So what this essentially means is you get to say, you're getting the hot dog, right? I want you to play this turn for me. And that person plays that turn for them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, can you imagine when people are going and playing this, you know, whatever format, draft or sealed, you get to the finals and someone pulls out a Kindslaver and uses it and just picks somebody who's in the store looking at some other random game and being like, you, I want you to take this person's next turn for them.
Yep.
And they can't be advised. They can't be helped at all. I mean, the implications are just insane. This is hilarious. And I love how he's rocking the helmet with the drink straws too. That's pretty pretty sweet.
Yes.
All right. So another card that I actually really wish that they would print in black border for my Sultai Zombie EDH deck is Over My Dead Bodies. 4 and black, you get an enchantment. It says creature cards in graveyards can attack and block as though they were on the battlefield, can block or be blocked only by creature cards in graveyards, are zombies in addition to other types, and have undeath touch, which means if they would deal damage to a creature card, exile that creature card instead. Creature cards in your graveyard have haste. This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, obviously when you're playing a game, you're going to have creatures in the graveyard, a little bit here, a little bit there. But I run Mirror Mad Phantasm in my EDH deck to absolutely just load my graveyard up with zombies. So... ugh. This has insane implications. You know, obviously, casually, if you can play with uncards, it would work. But, man, something to this effect would be absolutely horrendous in a deck like that, yeah. Or a Carador deck or something like that.
Or a Tassiger deck.
A Tassiger deck, exactly. You won't even need to use his ability to bring him back. Just attack and block with them in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So in this most recent day, we also have a, well, we don't necessarily get to the contraptions yet. Greg, you mentioned something about proper laboratory attire.
I did. I mean, anytime you're going into the lab, you need to have proper attire. So this
safety first
is an equipment. It's an artifact equipment. It says it's 1-drop and it says equipped creature gets +2/+1 and has protection from dice rolls. So what that means is nothing that lets a player roll a die can block the target, deal damage to it, or attach to equipped creature. So you can't attach anything to this card that had a die rolled for it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's an equip cost of 2.
So if you have a creature that says, like, you know, roll a die, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, this happens, and if one of the rolls says sacrifice or destroy this creature, it wouldn't die because of that die roll. Is that correct?
That is correct, because it has protection from dice rolls.
If only Jack and the Mox were a creature. Oh.
I mean, it's an artifact, right?
True. I mean, there's definitely ways to animate things.
Karn? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. No, that's hilarious. Specifically referencing die rolls is definitely something Unstable likes to take advantage of here.
Yeah, they do. There's another card in here that I think is kind of cool, and it's an old-fashioned vampire. Did you get a chance to look at that guy?
I did.
Does he not look like something out of, like, I don't know, Dracula?
Sure. I mean, what's he got going on his feet there? Are those sandals?
They look like they might be sandals, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this old-fashioned vampire, for 3 and 2 black, you get a 3/3 vampire, spelled P-Y-R-E, old-fashioned, has flying. And it says, old-fashioned vampire gets +2/+2 and has death touch as long as it's dark outdoors. So... you know, a lot of your Friday night magics, this guy's going to have +2/+2 and death touch.
Yeah. So, 5/5 flyer for 5. I'll play that.
Right? Just stay away from him during a Saturday showdown or something like that. Draft weekend. This card gets definitively more powerful the later in the day. That's pretty hilarious.
That's kind of funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then also, speaking of die rolls, let's go down here to Krark's Other Thumb. And so for 2 generic, you get a legendary artifact. If you would roll a die, instead roll 2 of those dice and ignore 1 of those results.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of die filtering, mm-hmm. so to speak. But with the prevalence of die rolls in this set, I mean, this is definitely going to be a pretty powerful card.
It's pretty good. I'm excited for it because we already had Krark's Thumb back in Mirrodin, which allowed you to do the same thing, but instead of dice rolls, it was flipped coins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. I completely forgot about that.
Uh-huh. So, my friend, we were talking about this the other day. This is a little bit of speculation here. We believe we may get a Krark card from the Goblin Explosioneers because he lost his thumbs.
Huh. And you'd also mentioned something about we don't have a red legendary in Unstable yet? This is as of Friday?
Well, we have red legendaries, but we haven't gotten any of our legendaries from the Goblin Explosioners. I mean, we've gotten one from the Crossbreed Labs. Haven't gotten anything from Goblin Explosioners. We've gotten three from the League of Dastardly Doom. Nothing from Agents of Sneak, and nothing from Order of the Widget. Now, judging by this, it looks like they made three legends in each two-card combo. The two colors that those sets are in. So that would mean that Order of the Widget will be a blue-white. Agents of Sneak will be black-blue. League of Dastardly Doom is black-red. Goblin Explosioners will be green-red. And Crossbreed Labs is green-white. So we should be, what I think, be getting three legends for each of those.
That would be interesting. I mean, if you do Kark in an unset, I mean, that would kind of, it would be funny, but he definitely has a spot in, like, the regular lore of Magic. So,
well, one of the things that I think my friend was mentioning is, what if his ability was to say, no, I don't have to shuffle my library. No, I don't have to put them in a random order. I just do what I want because I was lucky at a time.
Okay, interesting. That would be a pretty powerful effect.
I mean, we did get Rules Lawyer, right?
Well, I mean, that would then make it so that you could fetch and then look at your deck and just put it back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Did we suggest something broken?
That might be a...
Does it feel like an unglued item?
That could, sure, yeah. As long as that thing stays silver bordered, I'll allow it. and then so one of the newer contraptions, just because the name sounds a little ridiculous, we have Quick Stick Lick Trick, which is a contraption by oh my gosh, which faction is that? The one with the beakers?
That is Crossbreed Labs.
Crossbreed Labs. Thank you.
No problem.
So whenever you crank Quick Stick Lick Trick, target creature gets +1/+1 and gains lifelink until end of turn. So it's a common one, seems pretty effective, but the fact that everybody's going to say, I crank my contraptions, I activate Quick Stick Lick Trick, I mean, there's going to be a lot of fumbling over that.
Could you imagine the judge calls on that?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to activate Quick Stick Lick Trick, then you better have a target in mind that's not... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No.
Toy boat?
Toy boat. Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Okay, so moving right along here, we have another new mechanic. I mean, Wizards has done transform cards. They've done split cards. They've done all kinds of cards. But Crossbreed Labs is definitely taking that to a whole nother level here. Because we have these host creatures that you can attach other...
Augment.
Creatures. Augment. Sorry. There you go. There is that keyword. You got me on that one. You wanna walk us through how this one works, Greg?
So essentially what you got to do is you got to play one of these host creatures, say for instance Ordinary Pony, which is a 2 generic and a white, that says when this creature enters the battlefield, you may exile target non-horse creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. But that's not good enough. Maybe I want to change that. So let me augment it with multi-headed. So now it's going to become a multi-headed pony. It'll be a 6/7, and it says at the beginning of each end step, if I roll a die this turn, I may exile target non-horse creature I control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. So essentially what it allows me to do is change up my creatures. So I can play this creature that does a thing and then augment it with another one and make it do its thing differently.
Right.
So, for instance, I could be a half kitten, which says whenever you're dealt damage, roll a six-sided die and gain life equal to the result.
That seems pretty good.
Or, to be even more fun, a half squirrel, half kitten.
Oh, that's right. The half squirrel is one of the newer ones that we just saw.
Yes, it allows it does the thing on the host animal creature anytime a non-token creature enters the battlefield.
So it also gives them negative one, zero, which is I think the only one that gives them minus.
So far, augment it. So far,
yes, definitely. So definitely very wacky. This harkens back to the BFM, Big Furry Monster from Unglued.
Sure does.
Yes, but that was two cards placed horizontally next to each other. I mean, the positioning is specifically what I'm referencing here.
Oh, yes.
But you can lay the half creature over the host creature to create the entire creature, which will actually line up and read at the same level as it goes from left to right over the card, which I find very interesting.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that with Labro Bot, you have the artifact from the creature type line in the actual text box of the card. I think that's pretty funny. Cool. Yeah.
It makes me think of, hey, Ma, look, I'm the DCI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Borders, Schmorders. You know, these uncards, you can definitely have all kinds of fun with them. Speaking of Borders, to segue here for a second, Contraptions. They do not have silver borders.
Why is
there are people speculating that these may become legal if we see any kind of contraption based cards in standard, modern, or legacy legal sets.
What?
So
that's outrageous.
Absolutely outrageous. I mean, yeah, these cards look kind of silly, like Inflation Station. You got a bunch of chickens coming around this assembly line.
Hey, what about BB gun?
Oh, yeah. So you have some pretty off-the-wall pictures here, but, you know, they're not necessarily going to be completely removed from Magic by having that silver border. So that's interesting. Obviously, no time soon, but down the line, we might see something like that. Another outside-the-game card here that I find interesting is Better Than One. This is ridiculous.
I really want to play with this card.
One green and one white, a sorcery. So you can play this on turn two if you want. A person outside the game becomes your teammate.
Yeah.
So does that... choose any number of cards in your hand on top of your library or in the battlefield or on the battlefield under your control. Those cards become your teammate's hand, library, and permanence respectively.
Yep.
Wow. So, and in fact, I mean, you want to get real serious here. You can play this on turn one if you're playing like Legacy or something like that. You know, turn one, Planes, Elvish Spirit Guide, boom, Better Than One. You got another person on your team.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I mean, your deck split, could you imagine this in something like EDH?
Oh, yeah. I would assume that then pulls all the rules from Two-Headed Giant to create, you know, it's not like they take a turn after you take a turn. You know, like teammates would imply that it's like a Two-Headed Giant style format. Mm-hmm. I mean, am I right?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Which would then take things like multiple players, you know, things like Debt to the Deathless, mm-hmm. you know, where it hits multiple players would hit both of you. So, wow. The design is amazing here, and the space that you have to make casual games.
I don't think it says anything about life totals being shared, does it?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure that there will be errata and rules and all that stuff.
Imagine that they just get 20 life?
I guess. I mean, no. You would share life total, I would assume.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Because it would be crazy to share, like give that person new life.
Yeah, I mean, if that were the case, I would assume it would have to be, you would have to split the life total. You know, like, I take 10, you take 10, or something like that. But You know, because that would essentially be gain 20 life. Yeah. Who knows? We'll find out. You know,
if you're playing where there's no other people to add in?
Yeah. What if you're the only two people in the card shop?
I mean, there's the person behind the counter.
You go get, you know, Joe Bob off the street to come in and play with you.
Maybe.
Oh, man. Okay. So, moving right along. We have, were there any other ones you want to talk about on this day? The ones that were released on the 16th?
On the 16th, you don't like Very Cryptic Command?
Oh, no, I do. I just, you know, want to give you an opportunity.
I mean, the Hydra Doodle.
Yes, I saw that too.
That
cartoon's
really fun. I mean, so it's a double X green creature Hydra Hound. Yeah, it's a Hydra and a Hound. That says, as it enters the battlefield, roll X six-sided dice and Hydra Doodle enters the battlefield with a number 1/1 counters on equal to the total of those results. And it has reach and trample. So essentially you get to go, oh, I'll put 10 into this, I'll roll 5d6. And the culmination of all of those is its power and toughness.
Yep.
And then you've also got Super Duper Death Ray.
Yes.
Which is amazing because it's a 3-drop instant. Does you deal 4 damage to target creature, and it has trample.
An instant spell with trample. That seems incredibly powerful.
Does that not seem unstable?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why not? You're not shuffling your libraries, so right. You might as well just do this too.
It looks like a lot of fun. I like this idea. One of my friends liked it, and a lot of people think that damage spells like this should always have trample. I mean, you can give spells lifelink now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would turn something like, remember Roast? Mm-hmm. Or even Flame Slash? Like, if you were to give a card trample, something like that, I mean, having to target a creature is a little bit prohibitive with some spells. I mean, if you're playing decks that don't have creatures, these spells are obviously dead cards, which is a little bit, you know, I mean, the restriction would make it available to have a higher power level, but I mean,
true.
Yeah. So, okay. Then moving right along in this next segment here, November 15th, I know you were excited about this one as well. I just wanted to mention Split Screen.
Yeah.
So 4 generic mana gets you an artifact that says when Split Screen enters the battlefield, shuffle your library and deal it into 4 libraries. If anything refers to your library, choose one of your libraries for it. Play with your library's top cards revealed. When Split Screen leaves the battlefield, shuffle your libraries together.
So you
essentially create 4 libraries from the get-go. You can make them however big you want. I mean, you can have one library.
They're always even because you deal them out.
Oh, you deal. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
But could you imagine for instance, Oracle Moldiah?
Yeah. Yeah, play that extra
decks
land.
To choose from. I mean, you mentioned this earlier. Leveler,
straight up from Mirrodin. Play that, 10-10 for 5 and just remove one of those 4 libraries and you're still good.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You got plenty of library to draw from.
You sure do.
I mean, Jace's Ultimate doesn't seem so bad now.
True.
I mean, the Mind Sculptor, yeah, I'll just take this one. Because you're playing Jace the Mind Sculptor with these unstable cards, obviously.
Yeah. So you like Split Screen. I like Griselda Monster Masher.
Ooh, that's a good one.
She is a 3 generic black red legendary creature zombie villain. That's right. It's a villain and a zombie. combined enchanted and equipped creatures you control have menace. I think this is one of those that was designed for EDH because, I mean, it seems pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah, this has Commander written all over it.
3 generic, black, red, and tap. Put 2 target creature cards from graveyards onto the battlefield combined to 1 creature under your control. Now, notice that says graveyards. They don't have to be in one.
Yep. I mean...
And essentially what you do is you combine 2 creatures from the graveyards, and you make it 1. It's kind of a take on banding, but, you know, a lot better because you just make a creature.
Right, and I mean, this is similar to the mimeoplasm, but the mimeoplasm was, you know, you take the text of one card and the power of another, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a full-on smashing together, but this is just straight up, you know, okay, I'm going to take my...
Uvenwald Hydra.
Sure.
And my Terravor.
There you go. Make some pretty nasty combination. What do those two do put together? You obviously have thought about this already.
I mean, I think about different things. So if you like did an Uvenwald Hydra, you'd be able to go and search, and then its power intelligence is equal to the number of lands you control, and it has reach. And then Terravor says its power and toughness is equal to the number of lands in graveyards, all graveyards, and it has trample. So a Terravor Uvenwald Hydra would have power and toughness equal to the number of lands in graveyards and in play with trample and reach.
Oh my gosh.
Would that not be sweet? I mean,
that would be sweet.
That seems like something I want to do.
The first thing I could think of would be combine a Royal Assassin with a Gilderbairn. So you're like, let's just kill something.
Oh gosh.
And then rude. Untap to double some counters, kill something else.
I mean, you could also do it with Masker Worm and a Woodfall Primus.
Yeah, blow a bunch of stuff up. Have
blow
to take
permanent,
a bunch of damage.
Everything takes damage, and then you're like, well, sack, and it just comes back as persist.
I'm sure as soon as this card gets released, people will have their EDH decks ready to go, because this is too much fun to say, no, sorry, you can't use this in a commander deck. I mean, come on, get out of here. This is sweet. This needs to be a real card already.
I mean, it almost is.
Yeah. Another card out of this set that I think is just going to be straight up powerful is Jack Knight. I mean, it's not that silly considering, but you have for one and a white, a 1/1 artifact creature cyborg knight that says whenever another artifact enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on Jack Knight. If that artifact is a contraption, Jack Knight gains lifelink until end of turn. I mean, you're going to be assembling contraptions. There's plenty of artifacts on here. For two mana, this is like a Thalia's Lieutenant that's just going to get... And lifelink? I mean, that's just super powerful. Yeah. I think this card's actually going to run away with some limited games of Unstable here.
Yeah. Did you read its flavor text?
My sword is at your service, as are my scissors, corkscrew, and bottle opener. Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. And then looking right next to it, this guy right here, the countdown is at 1.
Oh yeah. You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of like a Ghostbusters villain.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like Slimer's face.
Yeah.
But, so for 3 red-red, you get a sorcery that says players play a magic subgame starting at 1 life and using their libraries as their decks. For the rest of the main game, if a source would deal damage to a player who didn't win the subgame, it deals double that damage to that player instead. So you're like, I'm going to try to cast Gratuitous Violence. But you know what? Someone else hits you for 1 and they get it instead. That seems pretty silly. So, I know Magic has had a history of printing occasional cards that reference subgames. Back to the original one of Scheherazade from Arabian Nights. I mean, that card's just straight banned because nobody wants to play Magic subgames within subgames. But then they keep creating this stuff in the unset. So, obviously, there's a want for this. You know, I think it's fun. I think it's funny. So
it's funny that definitely... you bring up Scheherazade. I'm going to jump this into the next day. What about that Spike Tournament Grinder?
Yep.
2 generic Phyrexian Black. Phyrexian Black, legendary creature, human gamer. And then for 4 Black Phyrexian, choose a card that you own from outside the game that has been banned or restricted in a constructed format, and then reveal that card and put it in your hand. Could you get Scheherazade?
You absolutely can get Scheherazade with this. Definitely. I mean, you could get Contract from Below.
You could.
The most efficient card ever printed, you know? You're like, I'll pay 1 black mana. I'll Wheel of Fortune. sure, I'll ante up one of these cards here. You know, it's an unset. I don't care. That sounds very, very intriguing.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I think that was a really good card to include. But yeah. I segued us a little bit there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's totally fine.
Did you want to talk about that Baron von Count?
Yes. I think, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. Specifically for its last line of text. But we'll start at the beginning and work our way down. Teaser. So for one, a red and a black, you get a 3/3 legendary creature human villain. More with the villains. So Baron von Count enters the battlefield with a doom counter on 5. Whenever you can, that's funny. A doom counter. It's not like, I guess it's referring a die. I mean, this is a counter. Like, if you were to proliferate, do you get another doom counter on 5? That's interesting.
I mean, maybe. Like,
it's not 5 doom counters. That's very weird. Anyway, whenever you cast a spell with the indicated numeral in its mana cost, text box, power, or toughness, move the doom counter 1 numeral to the left. When the doom counter moves from 1, destroy target player and put that doom counter on 5.
So based on that there, proliferating... Yes, I see that you can put another counter on it, and it would go on to 5. And, I mean, come on. Maybe you get to choose where it goes? I don't know. They'll have to come up with some interesting information there for us.
Right. So, destroy target player, you know?
Now, remember, that's destroy, not they lose the game.
Right, like Door to Nothingness, or Phage, or any of those other ones. So... I guess if you give yourself indestructible?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any cards that do that, but this is definitely the first card we've ever seen that says destroy target player.
You know what doesn't save them in this?
What's that?
Teferi's Protection.
Don't you have Shroud?
Do you have Shroud with that? Let me take a look.
I think you do. Yeah, no, Teferi's Protection would save
no,
you.
No, you have protection from everything.
Oh, okay.
So, he's a color. He can't destroy you. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, Teferi's Protection is still amazing. But, Baron von Count, destroying target player. That's incredible. So this would then, you know, bring to light the Swerve or Metal or any of those other things. No, Swerve's a spell. But, you know, redirecting effects and stuff that, that would be pretty, pretty funny. And then why not use Rings of Bright Earth, because this is a triggered ability, so you'd want to use those.
Stryonic Resonator.
Good old tuning fork. Yep. We'd be remiss if we didn't go and talk about Three-Headed Goblin, because this is just... lumping a whole bunch of interesting stuff into one card here. So why don't you talk about this one here?
So Three-Headed Goblin is a 3/3 for 5, 3 generic and 2 red, creature goblin mutant, and it has a new ability. That new ability is Triple Strike.
Wait, what? You said Triple Strike?
I said Triple Strike. And what this means is it deals First Strike, regular, and last strike combat damage. So if you notice, that doesn't say anything about double strike.
No.
Oh, wait. Double strike is first strike and regular still, right?
Yes, double strike is first
so
regular.
So it does cover it. Never mind.
First strike, regular strike, and last strike. This last strike stuff is really, really getting to me. Go ahead.
It's so cool, right? I mean, the ability to only deal damage after everything else has dealt its damage in combat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the other card that has last strike that I'm seeing here is Extremely Slow Zombie. So for 1 and a black, you get a 3/3. That's a pretty good rate, but it has last strike. So deals its combat damage after creatures without last strike. Any creature with death touch, Typhoid Rats, you know, will slay this thing before it gets a chance to return its damage. So, in theory, you could make some cards with some super buffed out power and toughness that just fall to anything with death touch.
Yes.
Just, it's, yeah. crazy.
No, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So, and then did you notice the flavor text for extremely slow zombie? It can't even say brains. It's too slow.
No, I thought it was just cold.
Either way. Okay, so we're getting into some of these older cards here that a lot of everybody else has seen for the most part.
Well, there's a couple here that I think are worth talking about.
Okay, let's take just a couple more. So, go for it.
Crowstorm?
Yes.
I mean, it's two generic and a blue sorcery that allows you to create a number of 1/2 blue bird creature tokens that are named Stormcrow, equal to the number of spells that have played this turn. Yes, it has Storm. Storm crows as a Crowstorm.
This card is its own meme.
This is hilarious. Definitely a flavor for the masses that love Stormcrow.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Best card ever.
And then you've got Rules Lawyer.
Yes.
Which this is probably one of the most busted cards I've ever come across. It is a 3 generic white artifact creature cyborg advisor. It is a 1/1. And it says state-based actions don't apply to you or other permanents you control. Yes, you don't die at 0 life. Yes, you can have 2 legends of the same type on the battlefield. Yes, you can stack damage and stuff. There's just so much bustedness.
For complete rules and regulations, see Rule 704.
Yeah.
No, this card is definitely overpowered, and if you get this in limited, you're probably going to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely hilarious. Everyone loves arguing over rules in Magic, and it seems like a perfect card, a perfect fit. Great flavor win here for this this newest unset. I absolutely love this card here called the Grand Calcutron. Calcutron. For a white and a blue, you get a legendary artifact. It says when the Grand Calcutron enters the battlefield, each player's hand becomes a program, an ordered row of revealed cards. So you're essentially playing with telepathy. And then it says, players can only play the first card of their program. If a card would be put into a player's hand from anywhere, that player reveals it and places it anywhere within his or her program instead. At the beginning of each player's end step, if that player's program has fewer than 5 cards, he or she draws cards equal to the difference. This is extremely powerful, but... I mean, everyone sees your hand. Everyone sees, you know, everyone's layout, how they're going to be ordering and casting their spells. Now, this obviously isn't without paying its mana cost. So you still have to pay the mana cost, but you can, you know, once you put it in that program, that's it. You know, you can't change it unless we see somehow a card get revealed that says change the sequencing of your program. But this card it's hilarious, it looks fun, and it looks very interesting. It's going to add a lot of strategic elements to how you play out these games. It's very exciting, actually.
Yeah, very, and, very exciting. Then I think my next card that I like is Summon the Pack.
Yes.
So this is a 7 and a black sorcery, and it says, open a sealed magic booster pack, reveal the cards, and put all creature cards revealed this way onto the battlefield under your control. They're zombies in addition to their other types. Now, this yells cube at me.
Yep.
Because, yeah. I mean, when you do cubes, you use packs from the cube. You make a pack from a cube, and you get things like Blightsteel Colossus as an artifact creature construct zombie.
Hey, is that giant shark from the dark coming out of that right there?
I think it is. And I think that's an Atog, too.
And I think that's a pearled unicorn, maybe?
Yep.
Boy, time has not been kind to that unicorn. Okay, so everyone's talking about what pack would you open with Summon the Pack. Greg, what's your answer?
My pack? What would I want? It'd be Onslaught.
It would be Onslaught?
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
The beasts in there are insane.
Right. A lot of people are saying Legions just because it's an entire creature set.
Oh, yeah. So you'd pretty much be able to put... I didn't even think about that.
you might be able to put all of them out on the battlefield. I think that's good, but I would still probably have to go to the original Eldrazi. Because even, you know, the common Eldrazis have that Annihilator, which is incredibly strong.
It is. You're right there.
Yeah. I mean, even in Battle for Zendikar, you'll get some of them. But I still think if you open that Eldrazi, there is that chance of one of the original Titans, as well as, you know, even just the Ulamog's Crusher. I mean, that's a common 8-8 with Annihilator 1. That's pretty beefy. Cool. All right. And then the last one that I really wanted to talk about here, just because I think it's funny, hilarious, I've played this game unbelievably amount of times, is Hangman. For one black, you get a 1/1 human villain. Again, a villain. As Hangman enters the battlefield, secretly note a word with 6 to 8 letters. Tap 1. Target player who doesn't control Hangman guesses the noted word or an unguessed letter in that word. If he or she guesses wrong, put a +1/+1 counter on Hangman. Any player may activate this ability. When a player guesses the noted word or all of its letters, sacrifice Hangman. So this brings a couple interesting points to, you know, just off the top of my head. First of all, it's hilarious. Hangman. There's a Hangman game going on in the back. This guy's dressed up like an executioner, but he's pulling a lever and he's saying, you know, what letter do you want to choose? So obviously you choose your opponent and they're going to play a legit game of Hangman as this guy gets bigger, you know, and eventually, you know, you're going to think of some really random words here. But if you're playing a multiplayer format, if you're playing with a buddy or a teammate, you know, it says target player. So if you're playing two-headed giant, just name your buddy. Tap like 10. Have him guess the same letter every single time. You know, and put 10 counters on this guy. This card could be potentially insane if, you know, in the right circumstance.
That's rude.
But for one black, yeah, that's pretty crazy. So,
oh, God.
All right. Well, with all these unstable previews, we've talked about a lot of them.
Yeah.
One thing that we would like to kind of talk about real quick before we leave the UN segment here is, Greg, you and I were both present when Unglued was released. I mean, as well as Unhinged.
I don't know if I was playing at the time, but I was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just started when Revised came out. So when Unglued came out, I was like, are you serious? And I was only buying like a couple booster packs at a time. I think I was in middle school or something. But couple interesting cards out of Unglued. Got to get my unsets right here. Well, before we talk about specific cards, Unglued was the first set that included tokens in the pack.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have power and toughness, but they were kind of goofy looking. I mean, you had a zombie, you had a sheep, you had a squirrel.
Soldier, a Pegasus.
A soldier. Yeah. Yeah, I still have, I think, one of each of them from back in the day, and those were pretty sweet tokens. Also, it was the first set to have land with a different frame.
Yeah.
So you're not getting, I mean, I wouldn't call it full art, but definitely good-looking lands that are very highly sought after. But yeah. Unglued gave us some very interesting changes to the Magic the Gathering multiverse that have been adopted, specifically in terms of packs and their contents. Greg, were there any classic uncards that you wanted to talk about real quick? We'll just do a couple of them.
I've got one of my favorites, which is Super Secret Tech. I've had a lot of people that ask me about cubes and how to make them really good because, you know, when you're building a cube, the hardest color to build is red. Because red just does not have enough staying power in a cube when you're trying to fight against a reanimator deck that pulls out Darksteel Titans and things like that. It's like you just lose on turn two. So the red deck's like, I don't win. I don't do anything. So I always suggested, hey, make all your red cards foil and then run Super Secret Tech in there.
Ooh, look at you. Talk about Super Secret Tech. That's
so there's
pretty
the
awesome.
Tech in the cube is you play red if you get that card.
Dude, cube is something I've always wanted to try, and I've never actually sacked up and built a cube before.
That's
but
it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be. It could be just, you know, cards that you find.
I remember I had a group that, I mean, we're segueing here a little bit, but we did a foil cube where we donated to this guy's cube. So every card in it was foil. And it was from, like, Zendikar. And I drafted these guys. We did a five-way round robin. And I drafted black-white tokens. And I won with Luminarch Ascension and Bloodchief Ascension.
All of which were foil. That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. They hated
Yeah, foils
me.
Definitely add to the aesthetic appeal of the game. I really, really enjoy me some foils. So, okay, so yeah, Super Secret Tech, definitely pretty sweet. One of my all-time favorites in these unsets that actually was a gift to me from my friend Nick, who bought all those Scarab Gods at ridiculously amazing prices. Anyway, one of my favorite unglued cards is Ashnod's Coupon. So Ashnod's Coupon is it costs 0 mana, and what you do is you actually... Hang on here. Let me pull up the exact text so I can get it completely correct. Sacrifice Ashnod's Coupon. Target player gets you target drink. The errata says you pay any costs for the drink.
So I'm going to break you off there and get into my card, because my card works really good with this card. And that's R&D's Secret Lair. Do you remember that
what
card?
What does it do?
So R&D's Secret Lair is a land card that says ignore all current errata, printed or otherwise.
Oh my gosh.
So there's some interesting cards. My next card interacts with this too, but specifically Ashnod's Coupon, you get to say, I sacrifice this. I want you to go get me a drink. No, I'm not buying it. You have to buy it for me. And they have to go buy you a drink, whether it's, turpentine and bleach or a Sprite.
It is target drink. So,
oh, it does target a drink. Okay.
Right. So if you, create a drink called Hexproof, sorry, I don't think you can get that drink. Oh, man. Okay. Well, my next card actually harkens back to a sort of an urban legend. But anyway, this card is Chaos Confetti. And it says tap. It's a 4 generic artifact. It says tap 4, tap it. Tear Chaos Confetti into pieces. Throw the pieces onto the battlefield from a distance of at least 5 feet. Destroy each card on the battlefield that a piece touches. Exile the pieces afterwards. And the flavor text says, and you thought that was just an urban legend. So, there was an urban legend back in the day that when
it happened. Oh, it happened.
Okay,
not an urban legend.
There was a card called Chaos Orb out of the original Alpha, Beta, and Unlimited sets. And this was a very similar artifact, but instead of tearing it up, you just take the card, toss it in the air. Any cards it landed on would be destroyed. So again, some sort of dexterous involvement with playing Magic. Very awkward. But the story goes, he tore up the Chaos Orb, threw the pieces into the air, and it destroyed everything it landed on. I mean, errata, you know? So,
do you know the funny thing about that? The
what's
guy
that?
Tearing up that card would have lost that game now because his deck was no longer a legal size.
Because it was minus one card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about a great way of losing a game, right?
Right? Yeah. Jeez. So, interesting story. A bit of Magic's history in there, but another funny unglued card here.
Yes.
The last unglued card that I wanted to talk about was is Jester's Sombrero. And this is actually a card, it take off of a couple of things. So Jester's Sombrero is 2 generic for an artifact. Tap 2, tap it, sacrifice Jester's Sombrero, look through target player's sideboard, and remove any 3 of those cards from it for the remainder of the match.
Yeah.
But my favorite card is, at the very bottom, your flavor text is the Taco Bell Chihuahua dog saying, Yo quiero Cormus Bell. Mm-hmm. Cormus Bell, another card... But anyway, it's so flipping hilarious. I mean, the original card, Jester's Cap, lets you search through a player's library and exile three cards from it.
Yeah.
This just takes it to a whole nother level. And again, yeah, if you saw commercials in the 90s, you saw this Taco Bell dog everywhere. But, you know, pretty useless. I mean, sideboard, whatever, but I think it's absolutely hilarious. Pretty cool art, too. The sombrero is very nice and detailed with the bells coming off of it everywhere. But anyway, that'll be my last one I talk about.
I had one more, and that was Vile Bile, which was a 2 generic and a black, 2.5, 2.5. And it said, whenever a player touches Vile Bile, they take 2 damage. So the fun thing about this was you just pick up the copy of Vile Bile and start hitting somebody with it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the fun of it, because, you know, that's what you did. But the problem is they errated it. It cannot be done forcefully. So if you had R&D's secret lair, you get to do it forcefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could take, like, a pen or a pencil eraser or something to turn it sideways when you attack so that you wouldn't actually have to take your 2 damage.
Well, yeah. Or, you know, you could pick it up and take 2 damage yourself and then start hitting somebody with it.
Okay, yeah, before the whole...
Because it doesn't have to attack to deal that 2 damage. They just have right. to touch it.
Jeez. Oh, man. Now we see why Mark Rosewater was so excited about getting an unset out.
You remember Stop That, right?
No, I don't remember Stop That. This will be the last one we talk about. What is
Stop
That?
Stop That is the best card ever. It's a 1 black instant, and it says target player discards a card. Gotcha. If they audibly flick their cards, return... Stop That from your graveyard to your hand.
You know what? This definitely has contention to be the best card ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really just like ever since Magic started, everybody flicks their cards. It's a noisy thing. And having a card that just says, no, I'm going to make you start discarding your hand.
You know, I got to give it up to Anson Maddox here for the artwork on this. That is pretty much how I feel when I look across the table and see someone flipping their cards like ridiculously fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great card.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Yep. Unsets. Who doesn't get excited about them? I mean, they're funny. They're fun. They only come around once every so often, so enjoy it because...
Every 10 years now?
Well, I mean, yeah, what was the time between Unglued and Unhinged?
I think it was like 6 or 7 years.
Okay, so quite a while, but yeah, no, this is definitely going to be a good time. If you get a chance, definitely go out, play a couple drafts, sealed, whatever you want to do, make your cubes, live the uncards. I mean, it's more than just basic lands. Obviously, the basic lands for this are beautiful, and everyone's going to want them.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun set to play, so get out there and do it. Wow, we took a lot of time talking about these cards, and we're actually going to go ahead and just... we're going to skip ahead to As Foretold.
As Foretold, that's like you saw something coming.
Exactly. And it has the... I don't even know what kind of counters are on it. Anyway, PAX Unplugged happened very recently and gave us some things to look at and start speculating like crazy.
Oh,
so,
my God. The world
Greg, what did we see? What happened?
So we got 4 pieces of artwork from PAX Unplugged that are from Dominaria. And the one that I'm most excited for was the last one. Now, I saw this on the Gathering Magic Tumblr and their Twitter first, so I didn't see it on Wizards, although I've been told it was there. Anyhow, it's an old lady wearing garb that's from Talaria and Dominaria, and she's got these goggles on, and she's spouting fire from her fingers.
Those goggles look familiar.
They do. As a matter of fact, they're Jaya Ballard's goggles.
Everybody's,
from what we've heard, it is Jaya Ballard, and she is on Dominaria.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's take you back here to Magic Origins when they printed Pyromancer's goggles. Yep, there they are, right there, those same goggles. And at the very bottom, you see the flavor text that says, I hope to meet Jaya Ballard someday. I think we'd get along, and that's Chandra Nalar. Well, guess what, people? That looks like it might actually happen. If this is, in fact, Jaya Ballard, and Chandra did end up getting sent to Dominaria after her intervention with Nicol Bolas.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Magic, Wizards, you guys are doing it right.
This is really cool. They also gave us artwork showing that the Academy is still standing at Talaria.
Oh, this previous picture here with this mage with looks like some wind swirling around the fist. Oh, man.
Yeah, no. And then the one before it, a lot of people think those are the Elves of Llanowar.
Ooh.
And the knight there is possibly a Sarah knight.
Oh, definitely looks like it's a church. You got the stained glass. You got the light coming down from the top. It looks very angelic, very holy. So, yeah, Dominaria, please get over here. I can't wait. This looks absolutely sweet.
I can't wait, yeah.
I know, right?
And then there was one other thing that we got. Now, this didn't come from PAX Unplugged. This came from Viz Media. Over the week, they announced the Ixalan art book, and they gave us some art from inside of it. And one of those arts is Saint Elenda the First.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we've got art for Saint Elenda, so we're expecting Saint Elenda and Rivals of Ixalan, so I'm excited for this.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the Academy is still standing.
I did.
Well, Greg, what if I could tell you that in Rivals of Ixalan, you could play Talarian Academy?
No.
You can't. But you can come darn close because we got another preview for Rivals of Ixalan.
Yeah.
This card. Oh, Greg, I can barely contain myself here. It's another flip card. It's the front side is called Storm the Vault. And for 2 blue and a red, we get a legendary enchantment that says, whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, create a colorless treasure artifact token with tap. Sacrifice this artifact, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. At the beginning of your end step, if you control 5 or more artifacts, transform Storm the Vault. Now I'm going to stop you right there. Grixis treasure tokens, Greg, in Standard?
I mean, isn't that somebody already playing that deck?
Revel in Riches plus this card, Storm the Vault. I mean, you may get to see competitive decks in Standard dealing with winning on a treasure basis. But I'm cutting us off here short. Greg, why don't you tell us what happens when Storm the Vault flips?
So when it flips, it becomes the Vault of Catlacan. Yeah, there's cats. It's a legendary land, and it says tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Then it says tap, add a blue to your mana pool for each artifact you control. Yes, that's right. That's Talarian Academy's ability, plus tapping for any color.
Talarian Academy can't tap for anything when you don't have any artifacts out.
Yes.
This can, and it's one of any color. I mean, This is crazy.
And then this flavor text. Swimming in coins proved harder than they'd hoped, but dancing was a jingling delight. Scrooge McDuck was not able to go swimming.
Nice. Oh my gosh. I wish this was one of the cards that you could open on Black Friday. I mean,
what if they didn't tell us and it could?
No, they wouldn't do that.
I mean, they've done it before.
Would they?
Maybe. Oh. I mean, we'll see on Black Friday next week.
Greg, I can't take this. I can't take this. I want this now. This card belongs in my deck.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Yeah, we're getting up there. We wanted to do one more brief segment, and we're going to really quickly take you over to Lore Corner.
We haven't gotten a lot of news story in these past couple weeks with Unstable previews, but we're not forgetting it.
No.
No. No.
No, we actually are planning on doing another lore episode before we actually hit Rivals of Ixalan. And we put a poll up on Twitter asking who you would like us to talk about in the Magic story. And we were only allowed 4 choices. And so we had to pick some people that have stories that are that we could tell within an episode's amount of time. I mean, we talked about possibly Urza, but his story is so long and monumental.
I think we'd have
involved.
To go over like 2 or 3 podcasts for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we proposed 4 characters. Now, some of these character stories are definitely long involved, but we'll do our best to encapsulate everything into 1 episode for you. But your choices, if you go on Twitter right now and you go to our Twitter page, you can vote for us to do an episode of lore on the history of either Karn, Teferi, Volrath, or Urtai. All 4 played large roles in the story of Dominaria, which, again, is where we're going to go. So we want to sort of bring you new players and old back in time to appreciate the story behind these characters that are such pillars in the lore of Magic. So go on over to our Twitter page. If you haven't followed us already, give us a follow.
Now, when's the last day that they can vote?
I believe I set it up for 5 days, so it's Friday today. I'm going to try to throw this episode up as soon as possible to give you guys the maximum amount of time to vote, because we did receive a lot of votes for our last poll, so thank you very much for participating. We love you guys. But definitely
I think that's
going to
be,
what,
Monday or Tuesday?
Currently, as of today, there are 4 days left. So you have today, tomorrow, Sunday, and yes, I think Monday is the day. Because I wanted to give some people, I know some people listen to this, at the beginning of the week. It's getting close.
Yeah, it is.
We have currently, again, this is on Friday, Karn is in the lead with 38%.
Wow.
Teferi is in a close second with 31%. Volrath is in a hard third at 23%. And then Urtai, my favorite, is floating in the back at about 8%.
Yeah.
So,
well, Urtai is the less known part of the Weatherlight.
True. And I mean, the more you play Magic, you know, the more you're going to see these cards and get to know the names of these characters.
Yeah.
But I think definitely Karn is the most prevalent, what with his presence in Modern. He's definitely very, well known, or at least his card is. So anyway, get on there and vote. Let us know what you think. We appreciate it. And we would love to bring you guys some more lore stories about Magic the Gathering. Oof. Well, Greg, we better...
We better
wrap this. Yeah, man, I am. I'm feeling a little unstable myself here. but before I fly too far off the rails, let's remind everybody that you can get this unstable product. You can get that iconic Masters product. You can get that Explorers of Ixalan product at Flipside Gaming, at flipsidegaming.com, where any order over $10, use that promo code WINCONDITION, get 10% off your purchase. Reminder, orders over $100, you get that free shipping.
Yep.
Who doesn't like free shipping?
Yeah. I mean, we all do.
So, all right. Head on over to Flipside, make your orders, and those proceeds will head to fund our future show giveaways.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I got that out of the way, Greg, why don't you tell everybody where we can find you?
I mean, I'm on Twitter at NoobSlasher2003, that's the only place.
And I'm on Twitter at MTG_Sean. The show is at The Win Condition. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube. We'll put the link in the show notes. Greg, we finally put up our EDH gameplay video.
We got it up. That's Tashana versus Gishoth deck.
Yep, it was the first game. We played 3 games. We might be able to put a couple more up, but this is our first time doing it in this format. It's kind of rough. We commentate over the game as we play it, so it's not just sitting there watching, people breathing and moving cards. We try to make it a little more interesting, but definitely give us some feedback on what we can do. We've been off the Twitch for a little while, but we are on Twitch at Team Win Condition, so you can check out some of our previously recorded videos there. Yeah, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Let us know how unstable you get, how iconic your masters are, how much of Ixalan you've explored. We want to hear it all. So hit us up at The Wind Condition. All that being said, Greg, thanks again.
No problem. Thank you, Sean.
And we will talk to y'all next week.